Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Come on, I'm going to encourage you right now to go ahead and get that air seat belt like this. Click it. And pull it down. This is going to be a good one today. Listen, God brought you here for a reason. This is a life-changing message. And I want to encourage you to decide right now, I'm going all the way with God. So are you ready to hear God talk to you today? Yes or no? Well, I want to encourage you to do so. I'm going to just say that we're starting a brand new season at LifeLink as we get into what God's doing this fall. And so your presence here today is not an accident. God brought you by divine appointment. And I want to encourage you to take the most of what God's going to do in this next 20 or 30 minutes. Even if in your mind you're thinking, I will never be back to this church again. I'm just visiting. So no matter what you say, it's not going to work. I'm going to say, listen, just give God a chance. You're going to love what God does in this service. So we're starting a brand new season. The sermon series that we're kicking off is really going to last as a focal point for the whole fall. And the series is You Are. You Are. And the idea is we're going to spend a little bit of time looking from God's perspective at who He created you to be so that we all lean back into who he is as our creator, because we're all wired a little different. Everyone say different. Like, trust me, you're wired different than the person you're sitting behind. It's real. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm not sure that guy's wires are even touching. Don't worry, he's thinking the same about you. He just hadn't turned around to say it. But the bottom line is, our Heavenly Father who created all of us knows exactly who we are and how to make the very most of who He's created us to be. And He does that through the relationship He has with us. And that's what we're going to talk about. Over the month of August, we spent the month of August looking at what we call basics. And that was that included things like reading your Bible, worshiping Jesus on Sunday, and praying. And those are pretty basic things. But we're really focusing on what God was speaking to us. It's not the ritual itself that has the power. It's the relationship that it facilitates. That relationship is everything. And so it wasn't just a trip or back around the horn looking at the basics again. It was like, Lord, how do we meet you in the Bible and let you speak to us? How do we take what we're doing on Sunday morning and engage the function of worship that brings your presence close? How do we open our hearts and open our mouth and we communicate with you in prayer so it's not just repetitive ritualistic syllables that we throw upwards as if that's going to do something, but how do you want us to pray? And so even that is relational. So the last few weeks, that's what we've been looking through as the Lord has brought us to the season where we're at right now. And this fall, we're starting a brand new season of spiritual growth, and I believe it's going to be life-changing. Let me tell you what I believe God is doing in this congregation and those who will receive the influence of what we're going through together. That there is a season for everything under the heavens. There's a time and purpose. There's a time and place. God does everything He does through seasons. Literally, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the heavens. Okay? So in lieu of that, what we're saying is we're recalibrating some of the ways we work together as a church family this fall because there's a new season of what He's doing. And here's specifically two things you're going to see from today that we're working a little bit differently. One is what we do in our life groups. Everyone say life groups. Normally, we spend the spring semester and the fall semester gathering around specific and unique and a variety of interests and topics, things that go with kind of what's going on in our own understanding and our own life. And we use that variety of seasons to then connect around with other people in that same season or interest. But this fall, we're actually working so that all of our groups together are synchronized doing the same thing, built around a tool that will facilitate our connection with God in three different ways. And that's the second thing I'm going to talk about that's different for this fall. We're not using our paper outlines, the paper notes, or the YouVersion fill in the blanks that have the fill-ins, because we're letting God train our heart and our ear, if you will, to hear what he's talking to us as his word's being taught and preached. Here's another way of saying that. That we want to equip you with a tool to use so that you hear him talk to you on Sunday, and that you hear him talk to you in his Bible on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that you reflect on Saturday, and you connect with other believers either weekly or bi-weekly in small groups to encourage what God's doing in your life. Got it? And so we're using a new tool, and that's what I'm going to ask the ushers to pass out right now. Hey, guys, just a quick second. Before they walk up and down the aisles, I'm asking every person to take one of these. And so you don't feel like you're getting set up for something, let me show you what it is. It's this little booklet, and we've got plenty for everyone. And even if you promise you're never coming back to LifeLink, no matter what I say or do, please take one anyway. Got it? You're going to need it. This is where we're going to write our notes today, and I'll show you how to use this tool moving forward. So ushers, if you will, go ahead and at this time and pass those out. There's a pen in the seat back in front of you. I'm going to encourage you to be ready to write down what God talks to you about. And I'm going to teach you a new way to annotate or to take notes as we journey together through Scripture this morning. While they're doing that, I want to just say to our church family that this season we're coming into is really not so much about what we are watching all around us. It's what God's doing in us. And as you're passing those buckets and getting those booklets, I want to just encourage you to open your heart and your mind to understand that God wants to use his people in our everyday lives, making place for his kingdom to touch others in all around us. Does that ever happen to anybody else? Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. In other words, God is not doing what we're going to be walking through simply to make LifeLink church services better. God literally is wanting to equip you for a more fulfilling, more rewarding, a richer experience with him, because he wants to do something through you as we move deeper into this fall semester. Does that make sense? Okay, so today is really going to be an overview of what we're going to be doing this fall. It's going to feel a little bit different, but it's because we're in a different season. So everybody got the book? All right, everybody got the notes? Got your pens? All right, now let's ask the Holy Spirit to start connecting the dots. Holy Spirit, we come now with that intention of opening our minds and hearts and asking you to speak to us, your people. You are our God. We are your people. You said that as your followers, that we hear your voice. So God, that is exactly what we're looking for today. Speak to our hearts clearly, Lord. We'll capture it and we'll reflect on it and let you change our lives with it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, so we're going to go through a season of discovery, looking at and discovering how God feels about us, because he wired us all differently, and it'll shock you what God's thoughts about you really are. You are created intentionally by your Heavenly Father to be a perfect recipient for his personal attention, and as your Father, that personal sense of connection. He loves you. He is excited about you. He wants to be with you. He wants you. He loves hanging out with you. He loves to be close to you. He loves when you're close to him. In other words, he's not looking for your rituals from afar. He wants to connect with you. So you're going to discover, I believe, how exciting it is that God feels about us. I also want to let you know that he's got good plans for you. Just before I get to the next scripture, let me give you a quick little overview, because many of you now have got this. You're looking through it. This particular guide is going to serve you all the way through the month of September and into the first few days of October. And here's how this tool is laid out. If you'll notice, just inside there is an overview of what does it mean to soap, S-O-A-P. In addition to the wonderful benefit of showering, which you should do every day with soap, soap is cheap and you smell better. I promise you, you're never going to know what you're going to get at LifeLink. Some of you are like, oh my God, I visited today. I'm never going back. He talked about taking a shower. you should shower. It's just awesome. But soap doesn't mean a shower. It actually means, it helps us remember four specific things we do to meet God in His Bible. And it has to do with meeting Him in His Scripture, making an observation, then what is a personal, a practical application of what we saw that God talked to us about, and then turning it back relationally to Him in prayer. So that's what that first page is. Then you'll notice the next page, page 3, is listed historical content. It talks about the book of Luke, and here's what the reason we're starting this journey together. Over the next several months, as a church family, we're going to journey through the New Testament, letting God speak to us from the Gospels, from the book of Acts, the letters to the churches. We're going to let God speak to us the same way He spoke to them. We're going to do it together as a church family, and that's why we're actually starting this journey. The idea is we're going to spend Sunday communicating with what God's heart and message is to the whole church family, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're going to take a chapter a day, and I'll show you how to do this in just a moment. We're going to let God talk to us in His Bible. On Saturday, we're going to reflect back over that. And then when we meet together as groups of people, in what we call life groups, whether they're weekly or every other week, this is what we're going to use as our connecting point. So all three things, Sundays, daily, and life groups, all here in this. And then when we get to October, we'll have another one. And this is essentially a customized spiritual journal for the journey God's going to take you on as we go through this together as a church family. The next page is one of the key verses from this particular week. And then week 1 is the header. And then you'll notice on page 6, everyone turn to page 6. This is where I'm going to ask that you be ready to write down what you hear God talk to you about. So this format of note-taking is a little bit different. Normally we'll pass out notes that have the scriptures already written down, and that have some fill-ins for you to write down some key points that are important to what God's talking to us about. That format of note-taking is helpful because it keeps us engaged. This is helpful in a different way, and it keeps your spirit open to say, God, what are you talking to me about? By the scriptures the preacher or the pastor or the teacher is using. And sometimes you'll hear him say something to you that the speaker says. Sometimes you'll hear something in your spirit that he says to you that the speaker didn't say, but it's him talking. Either way, write it down here. That's God talking to you. The other thing I'll show you is we're going to go through several different scriptures today. Please don't feel like you have to really write the whole scripture out. My coaching to you is just write the reference down. For example, in just a moment, in just a moment, you'll hear me say, we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. You see it up here on the screen in just a minute. You just write down Jeremiah 29, 11. And then when we're reading the scripture, if there's a point that sticks out to you that God makes like come alive to you, jot that down. Or if there's a point that I'm teaching after that scripture that seems to apply to that that's helpful to you, write that down. Everybody got it? Okay. I'll also give you some instructions of things. Hey, I want you to write these down. I'll just tell you what those are. Those are things that will be important to how we work together. But doing this is going to train your spirit how to hear God talking to you in the context of our assembly. That's going to be really important. All right? And then in just a moment, I'll go through the rest of what to do. Like an example of Monday, we're going to go through a lab together. But before I get there, I want to give you a couple of scriptures that I believe will inspire you to lean into what God's going to do this fall as we journey together. Number one, I believe God wants you to know He loves you. He wants you. You're going to discover that with us as we go through this. How close He wants to be with you. He's not ticked off at you. He's not mad at you. He wants you. No matter what's happened in your life, no matter what disappointments you've had, no matter what you've done to sin against Him, all those things, He goes, I got it all. What I really want is you. So you're going to discover that. Number two, I think you're going to discover that God has a great plan for you. In fact, write this down. This is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Just jot that reference down. But listen to what it says as you're writing that reference down. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, plans to give you a future and a hope. All right? Let me give you a tiny bit of context for what that scripture meant to the people who heard it the first time. The people, I know. Somebody over here said, yeah, I know. I love that. Okay, so when the people were hearing this for the first time, this was a group of people that God had called his own. So these were God's people, but they were actually, their country had been overrun, and they were living under the oppression of a foreign rulership, which means they were under control by somebody else. In essence, they were slaves. They were in bondage. They were under the oppressive rule of a different country. To them, it looked like a hopeless situation that they would never get out of. But God said, in the middle of that circumstance, I want you to know, I have plans for you. And they're not bad plans. They're not plans for your destruction. They're plans for your future, plans to give you a hope. They're good plans. So as we're going through this morning, I want you to know that no matter what your circumstance looks like, right now happening in your life, you may feel stuck, you may be addicted, you may be sick, you may be angry, you may be broken inside, you may be arrogant, you may be egotistical, you may be any number of weird stuff. But I want you to know that wherever you are, God sees you, he loves you, and he's reaching for you, and he's got a good plan for your future, no matter what the circumstance feels like now. That's what God's saying to us this morning. He wants to be close with you. Listen to this. I love James chapter 4, the first part of verse 8 says this: come close to God and God will come close to you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. What does that say? God wants to be close to you. And while it's true he's everywhere all the time, the sense of closeness is what he wants. Now everybody look at me just for a second. How many of you have ever been in a friendship or a dating relationship or even a marriage where you were physically together, but there was a million miles between you? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So it's true, God's presence is everywhere all the time, but that doesn't mean you feel him close to you. But he's saying, I want you to know, I want to be close, but there is part of the closeness experience that you're going to have from me that's tied to your willingness to come close to me. So it says, when you come close to me, you'll watch the experience you have is me getting close to you. God wants it. You're going to be surprised how close God wants to be with you. The other thing is, God wants to lead you into freedom. Lead you into freedom and breakthrough. Everyone say breakthrough. I talked about that a minute ago, but God wants to lead you as a person, as a family, as a household, as a group of friends. God wants to lead you through the seasons of your life, and he's always leading you into freedom, into breakthrough. He's always working on something, even when it seems like it's not working. It's not working. Okay? So these are some of the things over the next few months, next couple of months, we're going to discover together. And we'll look at it from different types of perspectives because we're all wired a little bit differently. But the bottom line is, over the journey through the fall, we're going to sense God bringing us close, 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 close to him. And you are going to love the experience. Got it? Okay. Now, what I want to do now is give you a practical instructions of three things that I believe will make the very most of this fall together as a church family. So these are things I want you to write down. Number one, in order for you to get the very most out of the journey through what God's doing this fall, I want to encourage you to commit to meet God in his Bible and prayer every day. In order for this to have its maximum effect, I want you to commit to meet God in his Bible and prayer every day. And we're going to go through what that looks like in a practical way, because a lot of times you'll hear us use phrases like this in church and everybody will give a good nod. Not like when you're going to sleep. You ever watch somebody in church who you know they're going to sleep? You can tell by the back of their head they're going to sleep. I grew up Pentecostal. I had some of the fun, most fun, exciting experiences of my life. And one of them one day was, listen, sometimes it feels like it goes along at LifeLink. It's nothing compared to the church services I grew up in. I mean, 2 and 2.5 and 3 hour services were just normal. I mean, people would just walk up and leave now. So anyway, but literally there was a guy in the church service and it was going long. And you could tell, You could tell because his head was getting back like this. And pretty soon his all the way back. And you know when it's all the way back and it can't go any further, he's out. But it got even better than that because pretty soon his mouth started coming open. Pretty soon he was just sucking air like, ah! It was awesome. So if you see somebody nodding off like that, just give them a poke. We don't want to hear them breathing hard. But the bottom line is, all right, sometimes people will nod like, yeah, I understand what you're doing. I got that. But we don't really know what to do with it. So this morning or this afternoon for the next probably 5 or 6 or 8 minutes, I'm going to talk you through what it looks like to sit down and meet God in his Bible in a way that you hear him talk to you in a way that you sense his leadership and you know how to respond to it, okay? So we're going to use the tool that we're using. Everybody got their soap guide. And if you'll notice that tomorrow is Monday, September the 2nd, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1. Now, for those of you that are familiar with Luke chapter 1, you may go, oh, that's interesting. That's the story of when John the Baptist, his birth was foretold, and Jesus' birth was going to be announced. There's a lot of cool things happening. Doesn't have anything to do with my life, and it's not even Christmas. Why are we talking about Luke chapter 1? Okay, so it's a perfect example of exactly what I'm talking about because God can speak to you through his Bible anywhere you open it. Got it? So the first thing you're, oh, by the way, let me just encourage you to actually use a paper Bible. I love the YouVersion. I search through it and I use it a lot. It's great Bible study apps, no problem. But I want to encourage you in this particular journey to get a paper-based Bible and let's use it together. Now, let me give you some practical guidance because some of the generations that have grown up in our country lately are not that familiar with a Bible. And it's kind of confusing. So my thought is to have you go to a Christian bookstore or look online. Amazon sells them. You can find them. But you'll notice there's different translations. And it seems real confusing. So let me give you a quick overview of what a translation actually is. And then give you a couple that we use a lot around here at LifeLink so that you'll be familiar with the ones we use. A translation is a device that's designed to reach into the intent of what was originally said in a language you can't read and communicate the nugget or the power of it, the idea, the concept. We use words in how we communicate. And so when we're looking at the English translation, you need to know that the Bible was not written by God in English. It's shocking, isn't it? Especially if you grew up in America. I grew up in America, which means I only know one language. It's embarrassing, to be honest with you, because I meet people from different parts of the world. They're like, 4 languages? Like, how many languages do you know? 4? I'm like, I kind of know one, basically, and I'm not even that great at it. So, but words are designed, in essence, to be communicating devices that let you know, here's the intent of what I need to communicate to you, and I use words. But in order for the communication to be accurate, we have to understand what the words actually are and mean. Does that make sense? Well, the Bible largely is composed with 3 core languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. You don't speak those, probably. Maybe some of you do. But you don't use it every day. So when we want to know what God wrote down for us, we get a Bible written in the language that we read and understand. And over time, the meanings of words change. So there are different translations based on different approaches to translating and different meanings of words. But so that your mind doesn't get completely hung up on what's the best translation, I'm going to give you a couple of recommendations if you don't already have a Bible, and you can have confidence that God will speak to you through these translations, even if you're not 100% sure what that word means. But for example, I read a story of a group, it is either the Wycliffe Bible Translators or Tyndale, both of those are translating ministries. And they were working with a group of people who did not have a language in writing. So part of what they were having to do is write a language for them that they could actually teach them and then translate the Bible into that language so that the big ideas God wants them to know actually gets through to their understanding and they choose in their heart to follow Jesus. That makes sense? Okay, So part of the process is communicating the core concept of what God is saying to us in his Bible. And God uses pictures and languages, pictures and words in language to help us understand those pictures. For example, we know that God is clear in his Bible that the only way for sin to be forgiven is by the blood that Jesus shed when he died on the cross for us. And the picture that he uses in part to help us understand how precious and spiritually innocent the life of Christ was, he used the picture of a spotless lamb. Everybody heard the Lamb of God? Okay. So when we hear the word Lamb of God, there's ideas and pictures that come into our understanding and help us understand the nuances and the meaning of how precious that is. Well, when it came time to actually conceptualize that for this group of people, they'd never seen a sheep. So the translators could say, Jesus is the Lamb of God, and they're like, cool. Doesn't mean anything to me, but that's a cool thing. What's a lamb? Well, what they did was they actually looked into the life scope of that group of people and realized that there was an animal to them that was the single most valuable animal in all of their agricultural spectrum. And of all things, it was a pig. So for them, Jesus became the pig of God. Which sounds terrible to us. Like, he can't be the pig of God. I mean, there's all kind of Old Testament problems with that idea. Got it? So our mind gets all jumbled up, but the basic thing God was trying to say to them is how cherished and valuable and innocent in the sense of sinlessness Jesus was, how pure he was. Does that make sense to you guys? So in case you're not familiar with what translation does, it takes the essence of what God is saying and helps us understand it in language we understand. Got it? Okay, so back to translations. When you're going to go buy a translation, there are several good English translations, and they all have a little different intent. Two of them primarily and one secondarily. Let me give you the translations we most commonly use at LifeLink. We often use what's called the New Living Translation. So jot that down if you're going to go buy a Bible. And you can just write down NLT for short if you go to a Christian bookstore, or look online for NLT translation. That's a good one. Another one's called the New International Version, NIV. That's a good one. And then there's one called the New King James Version, NKJV. From time to time, you'll see something by the ESV or the English Standard Version. There's a lot of translations we'll from time to time use, but the ones you'll see most common at LifeLink are New Living Translation, New International Version, and the New King James Versions. Those are the three things that we use. Any of those three, if you're buying a Bible, will help you. If you're brand new to reading a Bible, I'd suggest one of the first two ones, but the New King James is good too. Okay, y'all still here? Y'all need another funny story, or are you still here with me? Okay, we're about a 10-minute countdown clock to the service being done, but I don't want to leave without you seeing this. So let's say Luke chapter 1, we're going to go through here, and I've read Luke chapter 1, and I've made some annotations because as I was reading through it, these are the things that really spoke to me, and I sensed God talking to me about. So what I did is I copy, and I do this for, this is my approach to this, for Scripture, instead of just writing the reference down, it helps my mind remember the words by actually writing the words out. So I do that. And I found, to me, as I was going through this, the Holy Spirit talking to me out of verses 6, 7, 13, 14, 25, 36, and 37. And here's literally what I wrote down. Verse 6, Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commands and regulations. If I hadn't read that before, I'd go, man, these are really righteous, holy people because they follow all the regulations of God. Verse 7, they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and now they were both very old, okay? So if I'd never read that before, I would think, wow, these are really righteous people, but they have a problem in their life. They wanted a child, they couldn't have a child, and apparently now they're too old to have a child. So there's an element of sadness in their life. Do y'all follow that? All right, then in verse 13, God promises them a son. Then I'm going to skip on over to verse 25. Verse 25 says, Elizabeth says, "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away the disgrace of not having children, or of having no children." So now I understand that having no children was not simply an element of sadness in a righteous person's life. There's a social stigma that goes with it. So now I've got the picture in my mind that God's helping me understand is here's a righteous couple. They follow the ways of God. They're holy. They're righteous. But it doesn't mean they don't have problems. They live with a chronic sadness because they want children but couldn't have any. Now I'm relating, because in every way, that's a picture of me. I'm just a guy like everybody else. I try my best to serve God. I live as well as I can to do the right thing, to serve Him honestly. When I make mistakes, I ask His forgiveness. When I hurt your feelings and offend you, I ask your forgiveness. I try to let humility be the thing that guides me in life, because I've got nothing to prove and everything to gain by just following Jesus. So I would relate to this person. I also know what it's like to want a kid and not have more than, Sheree and I had secondary unexplained infertility, which means we wanted more children, couldn't have them. And if you've ever been around a person who wants a child or wants more children and can't, it is a crisis of the soul. So now I'm relating to this. But in addition to that, I realized that a good, honest, righteous person with a crisis of soul is actually also bearing a stigma of culture. And they're trapped. They can't get out. So now how would I feel as a righteous person with a burden in my soul and a cultural stigma I can't get away from? I'm trapped and there's no way out. And now I'm too old to even have a baby. I'm never going to get out of it. So now God's talking to me because I'm relating to this person. All right, so then we skip over to verse 25. God, in verse 13, God promised them a son. In verse 25, Elizabeth is going, "How kind is the Lord," she exclaimed. "He's taken away my disgrace." Now remember, she was old, which means God's doing a miracle, but she's been under this situation for a long time. And she's realizing God is an amazing God. Verse 36, what's more, Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. God's doing a miracle. People used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month of pregnancy. Verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. So a scan of one chapter in the Bible all of a sudden becomes a 3D experience that I'm having because God's talking to me. So what do I observe in what spoke to me in Scripture? The observation I wrote down, just because they lived right before God didn't mean they lived struggle-free. They had real, holy, righteous people had real problems, real sorrow, real issues, and disgrace. People misunderstood them. They were suffering, not just with the sorrow, but the stigma. And they were holy and righteous. In other words, it wasn't something they could be blamed for. They were trying to do everything right. No relief. They continue to live right before God in spite of their struggle because of who He is, not because of their circumstance. In other words, they kept serving God. They kept serving God. They kept serving God. There was something about their relationship they had with God that kept them connected to Him, even though the circumstance didn't look like what they wanted. That makes sense? Okay. These are observations that come to me when I was reading this. In God's perfect timing, He gave them a son, which removed their reputation of being disgraced. And also that God was working behind the scenes in a bigger context than they could understand. In other words, God knew, because He's not limited by time, that decades into their journey was going to be the perfect time for them to actually have the son. They didn't know for a long time, but served Him anyway. Because He's always working behind the scenes. So, what's the application that I can use in my everyday life? Because now God's talking to me, I'm observing some things, how do I apply it? What's helpful to me? First application is we don't really know what God's doing in and through our lives. I've got to admit and live my life as if the fact is, and it is, I don't know what God's doing through my life. I can't see it all. But I'm going to have to choose how I live. Am I going to live for Him or live away from Him? Well, for me, I'm going to live for Him even though I don't know what He's doing. And even though my life has, I may have struggles or pain in my life, that doesn't mean God isn't working on my behalf. Right from this experience, I can see God talking to me through. There were things he was lining them up for they didn't know was coming, but they lived their life right before God, even though they didn't know it. And I wrote down, for me, it's always in my best interest to continue trusting and following his leading in my life. So no matter what the circumstance is, it's in my best interest to keep following him and his leading. Even especially when the circumstances don't look like what I want. Why? Because he's working in ways that I don't understand. So now I've got scripture written down. I've got observations that I've written down. Applications that help me know how to make choices in my life. Now prayer, P stands for prayer. Now I'm going to turn it relational back to God and say, Lord, thank you for talking to me in your Bible. Here's what I want to bring back to you relationally. I said this, Heavenly Father, I sense you encouraging me to trust and follow you, especially when things don't turn out like I think they should. So today I choose to prayerfully trust and follow your lead through my day, no matter what it looks or feels like. And thank you for encouraging me with this today. So in a matter of 15 or 20 minutes, I sit down with the Bible and say, God, meet me in your Bible and talk to me about what I'm going through. We picked Luke chapter 1. It's a Christmas verse, for crying out loud. Did any of that sound like Christmas to you? No. God talked to me about what I need to know in my today life based on what he was doing those people thousands of years ago that we culturally call Christmas. Nothing to do with Christmas. God's talking to me. Can you imagine now how much more I'm going to lean back in and say, God, there's a lot I don't understand, but I'm trusting you today. I'm going to stay on the path. Thank you for being with me. You think my heart's a little closer to God because of that? You see how meeting him in his Bible is so important? So the first thing I'm going to ask this fall, please don't disregard this. Knowing about it won't do a blooming thing for you. Doing it will. Let me get real personal with you. I stand before you today, 255 to 260 pounds. My doctor is on the front row. She knows exactly how much I weigh. It's embarrassing. I am 53 years old. I know cheeseburgers are not good for my waist. Did I order a cheeseburger this week? Yes. So I knew something but chose something different. And you can't hide it. Got it? So knowing it doesn't do it. It's the doing that does it. So every day, 5 days a week, you're going to meet God in his Bible and write it down. Why? Because it's the doing it that changes our life. Second thing is prioritize Sunday worship. Write that down. Prioritize Sunday worship. Be in. If you live close, be here. Be in worship. Your body doesn't want to get out of bed and drive across town and sit there and listen to whoever's going to sing. And are you going to breathe that smoke or not? And is it too loud? Is it too cold? There's a thousand reasons your flesh does not want you to be here, but I'm telling you, be in the place of worship. Why? Because God does something when his people get together in assembled worship that's unique to that experience, and it's transformational. Listen to what he says. Write this reference down under that. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Here's how it reads. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another to meet together, especially now that the day of his returning is drawing near. Now listen to this. Here's one more thing. Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Matthew 18, verse 20. God tells us that when we gather together in the assembly or when we gather together in our groups, our small groups, when we connect in his name, and in his name simply means for his purpose and glory, when we do it for him and for his way, when we do that, he says, I'm in the middle of them. Remember what we talked about early in James chapter 4, verse 8? Draw close to him, and he'll draw close to you. There's something God does when we assemble ourselves together on Sundays and we worship together. And it's unique and different. So I'm trying to provide a compelling case why it's always in your best interest to get up out of bed, go ahead and just tell your children, no, you're going to church. I know you don't want to, even if they're 30 or 40 years old, you're going to church. Why? There's something that happens in the house of God. He designed it that way. The third thing is participate in a life group. Write that down. Participate in a life group this fall. Participate in a life group this fall. Here's how all the life groups this fall are working. We're going to take our experience we're having with God every day. So on Sunday, and then every day, Monday through Friday. And then when we connect in our life groups, and all of them meet either weekly or biweekly, depending on the complexity of your life, what we're going to do, everybody turn over to page 12. When you get to Saturday, in the rhythm of your study with God, when you get to Saturday, here are four questions that I'm going to ask you to reflect on. Here's how these four look. I've written this out. This would be this example of how I would use this week. Based on what the soap I just went through the one day, here's what I wrote down. What stood out to you this week? Here's what stood out to me this week. Right living before God doesn't mean I'll live problem or pain free. Number two, what do you believe God is working on in you this week? I believe God's working on me trusting him, especially when things aren't going the way I want. So God wants me to trust him and follow him. Number three, did anything make you think differently about God? Yes. Monday's connection reminds me that God is always working on my behalf, even when I can't see it. And number four, how might this change the way you live? It'll give me higher trust and higher, more peace and less stress and less anxiety because I know he's working even when I can't see it. Okay? So these are things I would reflect on. Then when we get together, we're going to connect. We're going to chat and chew for a few minutes. Then your life group leader is going to say, hey, everybody, let's share. What's God doing in you this week? Okay? Everybody look me in the eye. Do not preach to anybody in your group. This is not your chance to soapbox and what you think everybody else ought to be doing. This is when we share what God's talking to us about. That makes sense? Let me ask you this. When you heard me talk about what God did in me in the first day, did that inspire or encourage you in any way? That's what happens when you do the same thing in a small group of believers. Imagine what God would use through your yes to encourage somebody else who's going to listen to you share for 2 or 3 minutes what God talked to you about. We're going to do this all semester long. Got it? So here's, practically speaking, how to do this. Everybody get your phones out. All right, they're going to put a text number on the screen. If you will, just put your phone up like this and take a picture of that. That's your backup plan. That's your backup plan. Plan A is on the way out today. I'm dismissing you in 2 minutes. On the way out today, I want you to stop at the life group. If you've not already registered for a group, stop at the group station outside, and register. There are life group leaders out there to help you find which group best fits you. We've got groups on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We've got some groups in the morning, some groups midday, some groups in the evening. We've got groups that meet every week, groups that meet every other week. We've got groups that have childcare available and groups that don't have childcare available. We've got groups for men, got groups for women, and got groups that are co-ed, so it doesn't matter if you're a man or woman or you're married or whatever. It doesn't matter. So in other words, we've tried to eliminate all the barriers that would keep you from being able to do that. Got it? But it won't happen for you unless you register today. My admonishment or my encouragement to you is try it. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain by just saying, God, what are you doing? I want to follow that and let you lead me. Got it? Now listen, last point. Write this down on your page. Write the number four and a dot, like four dot. And then write these words down. Expect a breakthrough. Expect a breakthrough. Expect a breakthrough. Expect a breakthrough. Don't just hope for one. Expect one. God is going to rock your personal world. God's going to give you breakthrough in your habits, addictions, issues, family, relationship, finances, health, you name it. God's going to do all kinds of things. God's going to unstick many of us in this congregation. God's going to open up avenues of ministry that we touch people in our sphere of influence and light, and watch God do great life change. He's going to do all kinds of great things. I promise you. It's like I can see the Father in heaven going, I cannot wait. This is going to be so good. I can't wait to meet them on Monday when they open their Bible and go to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to meet them and blow their minds. This is going to be so good. Then on Saturday, I'm going to show them how to reflect. When they get to their life group, the life group leader is going to tell them to shut it down. You're going too long. I promise you, God's going to do something great. You feel God close to you today? Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for being so good to us. We love you. We're grateful. So thankful, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. I pray, God, a hedge of protection around this congregation. I ask, God, that you would draw us back to this place of worship, that you would cause us, our steps, to be ordered to come back week in and week out, week in and week out, connecting those life groups. Meet us in the pages of your scripture, God. Do great things, I pray. Lord, set people free. Give us breakthrough as individuals, breakthrough as households, breakthrough as families, breakthrough as friendships, God. Breakthrough as a congregation, Lord. Breakthrough as your people. I pray for everyone in this room who knows that today is a day of decision to say yes to Jesus Christ. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message of salvation. Jesus died on Calvary's cross to pay for the sins that separate us. He said if we'll admit our sin and ask for his forgiveness, he'll forgive us for every sin. If we'll open our heart to him and let him come in as our Lord and Savior, we'll be born again, the Bible says, as if we'd never sinned against him. We'll be brought back into relationship with him in a powerful, life-changing way. All of that is available for you today. And you'll know inside if this is you. So I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to pray a life-change prayer. I would love to ask you to consider saying yes to Jesus today. One, you already know who you are. I don't have to talk you into it. You already know. Two, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to do anything other than ask you when I say three, slip your hand up and leave it up. Nobody's looking around. I just want to be able to count and connect with you so I can pray. I'll know who I'm praying with. Ready? If that's you, you're ready to say yes to Jesus. Three. Throw your hand up right now. Leave it up just for a quick moment. Who's in here that wants to say yes to Jesus? Thank you, Lord. I don't want to overlook anybody. Okay, thank you. Let's just pray this prayer out loud together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word of truth. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die for every sin I've ever committed. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin, that you wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Today, I'm giving my whole life to you. Come into my heart. Lead me forward as my God and my Savior. From today on, in Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys. Let's celebrate together.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.